1, 2, 3, 4, Medium Talk.
Bonjour, and welcome to another episode of Medium Talk on the Blackout Tips premium section of podcasting and stuff for people that have money and want to pay to hear podcasts. I appreciate it. Also, I'm not by myself. As always on Medium Talk, I have a guest, and that's kind of the only way that we can do the show, or else it would just be me talking to myself. This week, I actually have Najayla Ree of BlazingBitch.com and also of Twib, like We Nerd Hard and After Dark. Elon and those names, but Twib After Dark, where she co-hosts with Feminista Jones and Elon, and a person that I've been listening to for a while and just thought was interesting was like, hey, I want to get her on the show. I feel like on After Dark, you always start on these stories and then like it gets cut off because other people have stories they want to say, and I was like, no, I want to hear Najayla's story. So welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm young. What's up?
I'm glad you're here. You guys don't have to know this, but behind the scenes, my Google Calendar didn't update me today. And
fine. Let's just blame Google.
Yeah, I appreciate Najayla doing this interview, even though it's about 50 minutes later than when I was planning on doing it. So I appreciate the hell out of that.
I had to move a lot of things in my schedule. You know, usually it's Saturday, wake up, feed cat, think about my mistakes, look at cat, take over my cat, play video games. So, you know, it was a full schedule, but I managed to move some things around.
What's your cat's name?
My cat's name is Logan.
Logan. Oh, like Wolverine.
Yes. He's small, furry, and likes to be the boss.
Mm, okay. And does he have a healing factor or anything like this?
He has a good recovery from falls.
Okay. I don't want to know how he's falling, but maybe he's falling. Maybe he's just a clumsy cat, too, you know.
He likes to jump on people, and nobody has reacted well to that. So he usually has to fall from them as they freak out because there's a cat suddenly on their shoulders and or head.
Cats are the scariest to me, man. Like, over dogs. Like, even over, like, cause, with a dog, like, they kind of wear their stuff on their sleeve where it's like, if they're growling at you, they're gonna fight you, if, you know, like that kind of thing. But cats are, like, smart and they'll just be like, oh, no, I'm not gonna mess with you. Scratch! You know?
Pretty much. Well, he likes to show his love with claws, also. he wears the moniker of Wolverine, very well. So.
yeah, Wolverine does show his love with claws. Shout out to Mariko. All right, so one of the things I brought you on here for, in addition to you kind of being you know, nerdy and also being you know, pro sex feminist, is that a term that you're cool with or no?
I'd say sex positive feminist.
There you go, sex positive. Or I could, or maybe like professional sex feminist. That is also, you know, you're so good at it that you become a professional. It's like a graduating level.
I am a professional in a couple of unorthodox leagues. when I was a cam girl, like in full swing, I would say that I masturbated at a professional level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm an amateur in the area, but I'm working on it, you know, trying to get my time up and stuff like that. But so you've been a cam girl before. Like, what else have you done, you know, in that arena?
Well, as a sex worker, I mean, it was a weird, but I guess it's kind of a funny story. I started as a dance hall dancer. Both my parents are from the Caribbean. And I always loved music from my culture, and, you know, whether it be soca, reggae, dancehall, whatever, I always loved it. That was one part of my culture that never got diluted from me, you know, predominantly being in the United States my whole life. Mm-hmm. So, I was in college, everybody's a poor college student, and I would do dancehall contests. So I was like, oh, you know, hey, look, I'm dancing and I'm making money. This is pretty awesome. And I broke up with my first long-term boyfriend, and I was devastated, and I stayed in bed for about 2 weeks Unfortunately, those 2 weeks were the weeks of finals.
Oh, no.
I failed the semester because I didn't show up to any of my finals. Obviously, I'm not telling strict Caribbean parents that that happened. As a result of that, I lost a scholarship that I was supposed to have while I was in college.
Oh, man.
I mean, like an X amount of money every semester. So I was like, I've got to make this up somehow. So I was dancing, and then, you know, I did the dance hall contest. I was like, hey, just economically speaking, I could go to this contest, enter to win, not win, go home with nothing, get like third or fourth, and get like $100, $50, a Best Buy gift card. Or I could do the same thing in slightly less clothing and make hundreds of dollars. So stripping was kind of just something that I just thought was a better way to make sure my parents never knew that I flunked a semester.
Ah, okay. So, like, first of all, like, the dance hall part of it, are you dancing by yourself? Are people, like, coming in, like, dancing with you?
Like, dance hall competitions, a lot of the times you have to go up on stage, you dance one by one, and then the crowd picks their favorites, and then the favorites have to dance alongside each other, then you dance by yourself again to try to top what the other girls do, then the crowd votes. So it can be very nerve-wracking. It's a lot easier when I actually found it a lot easier to be like a go-go dancer or working in a strip club, because, you know, everybody's like, yay, this stripper's here for me. Dance hall, they're like, ooh, you suck. Get your fat ass off the stage. We hate you and everything you stand for.
Oh, man. People get that mean at the dance hall competition? What if people bringing their friends or something?
Sure. You'll get a red stripe chucked at your head if you don't watch out.
What?
It's some, you know, New Jersey angry West Indians.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's some high stakes dancing.
Yeah. I mean, Irvington, they're a little rough around the edges. You know, I was a little Bergen County, New Jersey girl. For reference, for people who aren't from the tri-state area, I grew up on TV. Basically, we walked home. There's lawns and grass, all over our schools and stuff. So, I did not grow up in an urban environment, but
so.
I Newark, New Jersey.
So at the dance hall when you're dancing, it seems like this is high risk, low reward, because I've been to strip clubs and normally no red stripes drawn at strip clubs.
That's basically it. It was fun, and I like doing it because I like dancing. I think for me, it was a great form of rebellion. A lot of times I talk about body image and how affects and shapes a lot of decisions we make in our life, not just with sex, but with like everything. Mm-hmm. So for me, I've always been a larger bodied person. I've never been conventionally thin or conventionally considered pretty or attractive. So for me to get up and dance and just dominate and be able to be flexible and athletic and just love moving, I always felt that was like a great form of protest.
Okay, so you're like, you were using your body almost like it was a, I don't know, like an object of like, hey, look at this. I am defying you.
A subject.
Yeah, I guess a subject.
I wanted active participation in my middle finger to the patriarchy and status quo.
And no, I can get behind that, because one, I like, you know, obviously I like naked women and stuff of that nature.
Well, I actually got naked, which a lot of people, I've heard two sides of it. There's some people thought it was a cop out because I don't get naked. Okay. But the thing for me is I want to explore, but I also know that in long-term relationships, especially your marriage, you want to make it special. And the way humans set it up is we have these lines in the sand for, you know, a really long time. That line in the sand was virginity. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, I'll only do anal with my husband, or I'll only do this with my husband. So for me, my line in the sand is my husband will be the only man who will see me naked.
Okay.
And get divorced, and then the next guy, who is my husband, will be the only guy to see me naked.
Okay. I mean, everybody has to have their own personal line. I respect that. But I was going to, let's say, scantily clad. Is that close enough?
Yes. Yeah, all right. Clad.
Well, I also support scantily clad women. You know, whatever the cause is, I'm there for it. And I think a lot of people are like that, where it's like, oh, clothes are coming off. What is this for? Against patriarchy? Okay, cool. I'll roll with that. Where do I tip? What was stripping like then if, you weren't getting naked exactly? Like, how much was it one of those things where other people were naked and you weren't? Or was it like, where everybody was kind of, you know, scantily clad or what?
I'm a woman of size. I was never like a regular strip club. The only strip club that wanted to hire me as a regular was in Philadelphia, and I really was not going to take the train to Philadelphia. Mm. That often, so I would work around New York and New Jersey, and they'd have special nights, and I also did bachelor parties and like just special event parties. People would be like, oh, I have a yacht and I want dancers on my yacht. So you just, you had to hustle to get it. Like, it wasn't as easy as you know, we don't have that strip club culture that they have like down south in like Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You could strip for a year and buy a house.
Mm-hmm. You can. I have a friend who, when we were in college, he's my roommate. He was, we went out to a strip club and it was his birthday and the stripper just liked him. By the way, no idea what makes a stripper like a guy or not. I mean, I'm not a creep in a strip club. I can barely go in one. I always feel weird, but like, she just picked him, you know, like, oh, I'm gonna give you a lap dance. And we paid for one, but we were broke college students. So we were like, all right, well, we got to wrap it up. And she was like talking to him in his ear and like giving him free dances and stuff, gave him her number, started taking him out on dates. Like, she had a house. She was letting him drive her car. It was just like a crazy thing.
If we see somebody who like really catches our eye, you know, you work with your advantages.
Yeah, I mean, he's a quiet, reserved dude. It wasn't like, I think in a lot of guys' minds, they go, oh, it must have been like some baller or some dude that walked up in there. Like, no, he's just a regular dude and played his cards right, man. He was dating her for a long time, man. So, have you...
I only dated one guy when I was working. He was... what did he do? He was like a pharmacist or something, and we dated for like 2 years.
Oh, that's actually really good. Like, you know, as far as that length of time.
Yeah, but I mean, he was just like this quiet Asian dude. I just thought he was funny because he was just like, okay, they're naked ladies, and he like was sitting with his hands in his lap, just like, you know, I don't want to offend anybody.
Yeah.
I'm not going to try to touch you, ladies. Here's your dollar. I'll hand it to you. And I just thought it was the most adorable thing I ever saw in my life.
Yeah, that's kind of how I am in a strip club, man. I'm not, and by not comfortable, I don't mean like on some like creepy. I just literally am just like, am I supposed to be looking her in her eyes? Cause I respect her and I don't want her to think that, you know, I'm just here objectifying her, but I am objectifying her. I remember one time I had a like 20 minute conversation with the stripper at our lunch because, you know, they do that thing. I don't know if you guys did this, but where like three or four guys sitting at a table talking or something and then like stripper comes over like, you want to dance? And, you know, if the guy's like, nah, or yeah, whatever, then, you know, you get to dance and that's the transaction in my mind. But I was like, nah, I don't want to dance. I'm good. Thank you very much. And then the lady just sat on my knee for like 20 minutes talking to me.
Well, she's probably trying to get you to buy drinks because we make money off that.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. I have no idea. I'm sitting up here like, I don't know what to say.
That was like my hustle. Like, I had a really like derpy hustle if they had like a big girl night. It was usually like Saturday, sometimes it was Sunday, which could be big night, but Sundays it was kind of dead. So I'd bring my Nintendo DS out, and I just like, I'm just so bored on the floor, flip open my DS, Why, yes, I'm playing Fire Emblem. You like video games? Let's talk about some video games. I am so thirsty. Oh, thank you for this vodka and cranberry, but I don't drink. Why don't you drink it? I'll just have some apple juice. Oh, thank you for my apple juice. Are you still thirsty? Do you want a beer? Oh, he'll have a beer. Yeah, that was...
Oh, man, that's fucked up. That would work on me.
I get drinks, and I get a little bit of that drink money.
Yeah, I wouldn't have... I would probably be like, oh, what game is that you're playing? And then next thing you know, I'm broke. So luckily, I never ran into any strippers like that. I only ran into the ones that want to tell me about getting through college, which I can identify with.
I would talk about college, but then, like, I have a degree in journalism, so all I would think about was, you know, going over and covering the war and talking about, you know, horrors and how is just so undisciplined and how did we let this happen. So I get, like, really impassioned about it, about things that most people don't care about.
Very sexy conversation. Just a very sexy conversation. As a guy sitting there like, oh, my God, I can't believe that the kids are dying in Pakistan. Mm.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, though, is because I never really thought of this until this moment, but I guess if you're at, you know, a strip club and you're working at a stripper, it still is work and you still are you. So, you know, you're going to talk about naturally the things that you're into, you know, even though I kind of feel like every dude thinks, well, strippers are just hustling me and they'll say whatever they want, you know, to get my money. But I guess at some point, because, like, the girl who sat on my lap talked to me about school, and then she gave me, like, all this rundown of, like, the stripping game and, like, guys trying to proposition her to come back to, like, their hotel rooms and what kind of customers she prefers, what kind of customers she doesn't, the different kind of guys in the bar right there. And, like, it was just, like, this 20-minute, like, this is my job thing. And I was like, well, I guess she is at work, you know?
Yeah, you're at work. Sometimes you want to vent. I mean, there's always good days and bad days. I really, one question I always hate when people ask me when I talk about what I do, they always say, like, oh, well, did it empower you? Or did it make you feel objectified? And I was like, well, what day? I think everybody's job, you have days where you feel empowered and days where you feel like you're being taken advantage of.
That's true. What you said on your bad days, what is a bad day as Najayla comes in
the
strip?
The day I decided I will never step foot in a strip club again, it was a big girl night in, I don't want to say the name of the club, but it was in Hunts Point.
Okay.
Made famous by HBO's Hookers on the Point.
Oh, yeah, that's a good series. I love that series.
Well, not so great when you have to walk home at 3 in the morning.
Oh, wait, so when you walk home at 3 in the morning, there's not a deep-voiced black dude doing spoken word poetry about you?
No, unfortunately. That would have kept me company, or at least they'd
him. Well, I just assume that, because every time they show it, it's like, Najayla strolls down past the poles. And it's like, the dude goes in and get that bass going. I had no idea that you guys were out there all alone.
Yelling and people carrying on, but I actually talked about the last After Dark, where a guy, he was this big guy, people were acting like he was a big deal. I'm going to assume he was some type of athlete or something.
Okay.
I don't know. And so he was not being the most courteous customer because he was complaining that it was big girl night, kind of just acting all of an ass, but still getting dances and still paying for them. So,
That sucks, man.
Yeah, well, it gets worse. He wanted to go have a private dance with me. So I said, okay. I went in the back, and then he basically wanted me to perform some oral sex type services on his member. And I'm not down for that in any way, shape, or form. So I was like, no.
So there really is no sex in the champagne room?
Not for me. I'm not saying, you know, there are places that, yeah. Or, you know, I've had a friend who was just really horny one day and just was like, hey, you want it? You got a condom on you. Just do it now. We're human, so you never know. But for me, no. And he punched me in the face.
What?
Yeah, he was like, what? Like, oh. You are a whore, and I have money to pay you for your services. And I was like, well, sir, I am not that type of whore. Technically, I'm a slut. I like having a lot of sex, but I don't charge. I don't want to have sex with you, so yeah. So yeah, and they kind of just let him get away with it.
Yeah, I was going to say, because, there has to be some sort of process after that, because everywhere I've ever been, if you, like, violate even the regular rule, which is, like, hey, no grabbing on the strippers, then, like, a big-ass 6'8" dude comes over, and you don't get to go home, and you have to drink soup that night for your meal, because you're not going to be able to close your mouth.
Big 6-foot dude was like, you know he's drunk, why'd you go in the back with him? And I was like, this is my job.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, I wasn't a regular girl at that club, so maybe they just didn't care. Mm. Maybe the bouncers didn't seem too enthused with Big Girl Night either, so maybe they were like, oh, take that, fatty. Or he was just a douche, but yeah, then I was like, nope, I'm not doing this anymore.
It seems like punching in the face, though, is, I don't know, it seems kind of extreme, like a thing that would mess up business for you, possibly. Not to mention, if other ladies that were thinking about working there would show up, they'd be like, really, we're punching people in the face and nobody's getting in trouble? It just seems bad for business to me, so.
Like, I don't know if he was somebody who was important or they knew him in the club and he was a regular at that particular club or whatever, but yeah, they did not react the way I wanted them to react, and I was like, you know what, I don't want to do this. I'm not putting myself in danger. And, you know, I did a couple of parties after that. And then I was like, why am I doing this? I have a college degree now. So, yeah. And then I was like, you know what? I don't mind, you know, using my body to make a ways for myself. And that's when, you know, I started investigating camming a lot more, which I think it's an easier format.
Mm-hmm.
It's more engaging. And nobody can punch you in the face.
Oh, yeah, it's true. I guess they could send, like, a picture of a fist, but that's not the same, you know?
Yeah, you get hate mail, or people are like, well, you're fat. And I was like, okay, block.
Right.
I think the first day that I signed up on StreamMate, it coincided to me doing a roundtable on the website Racelicious about interracial dating.
Mm.
I was part of 3 roundtables, which was the Asian roundtable, the Black roundtable, and the mixed race roundtable. And apparently some college was using it for one of their classes.
Mm-hmm.
And a kid who wrote a paper about the roundtables that I participated in was in my room. So it turned into a lecture about intersectality. And
what is intersectology?
Well, basically, how, you know, I can have certain roadblocks in my way as a woman, but I'm also socialized as a Black woman, as a mixed woman, you know, and just like other people, you know, you could be cisgendered but queer. Mm-hmm. And a man. And so it's not just like, oh, everybody has privileges, but your privileges can also be affected by other things.
Okay. So,
and
so,
it's like, never stop, like, just because, you know, I grew up middle class. Mm-hmm. And I do have, you know, class privilege. I definitely, you know, I do not have white privilege. I do not have male privilege. I might have, you know, cisgendered straight privilege.
Mm-hmm.
But I still don't have a lot of other privileges, and I never stop being, you know, a woman, and I never stop being Black, and I never stop being a sex worker. These are all things that I will always be dealing with as I react in the things in the world, and the world reacts to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much that idea.
So, all right, so let's go back a little bit, because you keep saying interesting things, and I know if I was listening, I'd be like, oh, wait, what is that like? When you talk about doing, like, the house, like, party type events, is it like the movie Players Club, or like what goes on with that? Because like when I watched Players Club, I just felt like it was the scariest thing in the world, and you'd have to be the bravest person ever to go to someone's house and be like, "All right, I'm gonna get naked. Well, I'm gonna get partially naked for you guys."
I did parties that were organized by a promoter, So either they would have an apartment or a penthouse in New York, or sometimes, usually New York, they'd take all the furniture out, they'd hire security, they'd have more than two dancers. It was like sometimes 10 to 20 dancers. So you're not alone. You have a place where you can put your stuff. It's not just me and a friend and nobody else. So there was security. I knew the promoter. He was there to, you know, pick and choose who he let in and that type of thing. So it wasn't as scary as all that. Mm. There's definitely times where I did a bachelor party. I would never do one by myself.
Yeah.
I could have made a lot of money, but I was like, there's no way I'm going to a house full of drunk guys by myself.
Yeah, it just seems, I think the first, when I watched Players Club, it was like really the first time I ever was like, and I know it's a terrible movie, but still, just to emphasize the point. it was the first time though, as a guy, that I ever thought about it from a female point of view of the stripper, where it's like, oh my God, this is the creepiest, rapiest thing ever to do, you know, by yourself. Because, you know, that was one of the side stories in it, was that there was one girl who's like all about the money and is like, I need this money. If I do these house parties by myself, I get even more money. But it's like when she goes in there and she's like getting changed and there's like people walking around in and out. It's like every dude staring her down. It's like hella creepy, you know, cause there's no, unlike real life where it's like, even if you are about to stare a chick down or you think somebody looks good, there's like a little bit of, hey, how you doing? Okay, what's your name? Okay, cool. Eyeball full. Okay, well, I'm out of here. But with this, it's just guys like looking at her like it's, she's on a prison yard, you know?
Yeah, that happens. You just deal. I think because of dealing with all those glances, like when I do public speaking or do a seminar or a panel, I'm just like, whatever.
Okay.
Look at me however you like.
So it's almost like kung fu training, where it just prepares you for other things later.
Kinda, and I think like when I started college, I was very like shy. I never really spoke up in class, and once I started, dancing, which turned into blogging and stuff, it made it so much easier for me because, you know, as a journalism student, you had. Like, I was on the school newspaper, and I had to do assignments, or I had to talk to people. I think if I never started dancing, I never would have been able to do that, because I just became so used to being able to talk to people. Mm. And I, like, I'm a kind of a antsy creeper, so I don't know how to person that well. And social interactions, like, I used to have, like, hardcore social anxiety.
Ah.
I'd have, like, a mini panic attack, because I have to interact with the bus driver, and I'm like, oh, social attraction. So I got over that for the most part.
Well, all the people out there listening, all my young journalists, just know, if you're having issues, man, get to taking off them clothes, man. You know what I'm saying? Get out there.
I'm not saying that.
Shake it up.
Service job. You could work at become a candy striper and talk to patients, or work at your local hospice. They need volunteers.
None of those jobs sound as cool as dance hall dancing and stripping. I'm sorry, guys, but get to doing it. You know,
my cat is on my bike, and
Logan wants to be in the interview as he keeps walking by the camera. I see you, dog. No, can't trust him. But yeah, it's kind of funny though that prepared you for dealing with so many other circumstances. I know when I was a waiter, all the shit that you go through as a waiter, it kind of prepared me to be like, well, you know what? I'll call this person up and I want to interview them, talk to them, and I'm not going to be scared or intimidated by who they are. Cause, you know, why not? If they walked into IHOP, I'd serve them pancakes like I serve anybody else, you know?
Exactly. So you can be a waiter. Don't have to be a server. I just don't want letters. No letters.
You guys, blazingbitch at blazingbitch.com. Just go ahead and send her the emails. Everything I say, she's responsible for also. So, all right. So you're talking about being a cam girl. What is the process to get hired to be a cam girl?
There is none. You either have a camera and then you advertise and do cam work and, you know, get your money Or you could sign up on a network. You know, there's StreamMate. There's a billion and one cam places, but I think StreamMate is like the most popular one.
It is, because it, of all the pornography I watch, it pops up the most. Like, it is the biggest. Yeah. Like, I'm like, what is that sound?
There, but you take a picture of your license to prove that you are not a minor and you're not, being trafficked or whatever. Not that that actually proves anything, it just proves that you're of age, and you get to cam in. I mean, it's not. I don't think they ever go, no, you cannot cam.
Oh.
I think it's a trial by fire. If you could make it through and you continue to do it, I'm on hiatus because 2 years ago I got my first like corporate job.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was still camming just because people think corporate job means you suddenly have all this money.
Oh, you don't.
No. So I had health insurance, which was awesome.
Yeah.
But I still had to cam so I could afford to go to the doctor.
So when you're talking about camming through like StreamMate, first of all, I always thought StreamMate was kind of fake because when they do those pop unders, it's like you just pop directly into someone's cam. And I'm always feel like I shouldn't be looking. What is going on here? I should not be. I don't think I'm not paying for this right now. At the same time, somebody's getting naked, so I can't switch away right away.
StreamMate, sometimes you're popping into an actual room. Sometimes it's a pre-recorded loop.
Ah, okay. Okay, well, hopefully it's a loop, because I felt like I was stealing a little bit, you know?
Yeah, that is the downside. I'm always, like, afraid that, I mean, when you sign up for the site, they basically say, like, hey, your stream, it's kind of ours, so... Mm. If we record a bit of it, we're going to use it for promotion. So I have no idea if I'm being advertised on some site right now, even though I haven't camped in a while.
Hey, I'll let you know, man, because I watch a lot of porn and it always has this pop up. If I see you, I'll let you know, man. But, like, I'm pretty sure it probably like goes by the type of porn you watch.
My parents don't know. People don't know because I'm still afraid to tell them I flunked a semester. Like, that's not going to happen.
How long ago was that you flunked that semester?
2006.
Oh, so 7 years later, you are still afraid to say, I flunked out a semester of school. You guys didn't know.
Caribbean parents, they'll still beat me. They still beat me back home. Straight me out. I'm not tempting fate.
So, what do you think would they be more upset by if they saw the cam girl thing, or if they found out you flunked a semester of school and didn't tell them?
It would be a perfect wave of terribleness. they would see the cam thing, and they're super Christian, like super Christian.
Oh, man.
That's not going to go over well. There would be slut shaming, fat shaming, dumb shaming because I flunked the semester, because they're going to find out, because they're going to want to have it step by step how I came to be in that window. And then they're going to be mad because I know my first response is to meekly say, that's not me. Obviously it will be. so that would be terrible. Then they're going to call my brother to yell at him. Because I've done something wrong. That's just how my parents roll. If they're mad at my brother, they'll call me. If they're mad at me, they'll call my brother. It's a thing. And so it would just be a bad afternoon and a very awkward Thanksgiving.
When you were doing, like, webcam stuff, did Logan ever come in?
I would try to do shows with him out of the room. But he cries really loudly if I'm in a room and I close the door. Mm. So I'd be there like, oh, hey, blah, blah, blah. And then you see him in the background. which isn't very conducive to sexy time. So
yeah, and if it is, then you got to really wonder what that guy's into, right?
Oh, actually, most sites ban you from having any pets on screen.
Yeah.
Like, if you have your cam set up And even if you're just in chat interacting with users and your, like, cat walks by, like, you can get penalized for that. So I had to basically, like, make a cat corralling rig where he could see me, but he'd be, like, kind of in the closet. And
So
he wouldn't be screaming, but he wouldn't be able to get out until I wanted him to get out.
Yeah, because I can imagine how awkward that would be is if the cat came on screen and then dudes are like, yeah, pet that pussy. No, the cat. It's like, oh, let me turn this off. A couple things. When you do like a house party with 10 girls there, how do y'all divide the money? Does everybody just divide everything by 10? Is it like, Hungry Hungry Hippo where you grab what's close to you and that's all yours and no one else can take it?
Usually you kind of just know which tips are yours, because they're on your person.
Okay.
You have, like, garters and everything, and they put it in there. If you do a floor show, I've always done individual floor shows, because I've kind of noticed that a lot of girls were like, oh, we should do a floor show together. They're really saying, hey, I want to have sex with you.
Oh.
So this is a good way to do that. So,
I didn't know that. So
I'm not inclined to the ladies.
Okay.
So I don't want to insult her by being bad. I will be a lousy lay. So I always just said, no, I'm good.
So how erotic are these shared floors though? Like
at a private party.
Yeah.
They get pretty
sexy. Pretty
sexy. A little much, usually kind of illegal.
Oh.
You know, to each their own. I did not partake.
Okay, yeah, I've never been to one. I've only seen them on videos, but yeah.
Sometimes I think I should write more about my times as a dancer. I'm trying to revamp my site, blasianbitch.com, right now, because, it was a lot easier to be able to write all the time when you are a dancer living on your brother's couch with your MacBook, and that was your life.
Now, did your brother know you danced, or what?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's cool.
Yeah. My brother is super supportive. Shout out to you, Nate. Hey, Nate.
What up, Nate?
He, when I started doing public speaking, I spoke at Exotica Expo for the first time. I did two seminars. I did one on Adult Blogging 101, which is basically my way to teach some press law to first-time bloggers and try to make them be more professional and honor journalistic ethics, which, you know, goes over great at a sex convention. I have a seminar that I do called Fat Fuck, Skinny Fuck, Who Cares? Everybody Fucks, which is basically a body positive sex positive seminar where I just try to convince people to stop hating their bodies so they can have better sex. And when the world is having better sex, everybody's happy, or everybody's happier.
There's a lot of fucking going on too. That's a good point. Like a lot of, like, that's one of the things that I find weird on Twitter and social media though, is when people start doing like the, well, if you weigh this much, then you're not having sex. And if you weigh that much, I would never touch you. And it's like, you won't get wifed, which is a big one, and all this stuff. And I'm like, but I know people that get it in. We all do.
The weirdest thing, that doesn't happen on Twitter. That happens in real life. I remember I had my first college lover, which I was infatuated with this idiot. He was a professor. I won't say which university. But he was the head of the, philosophy and social something services.
Oh, it was Cornell West. Okay, got it.
Well, he was a super learned man. Like, he did his undergrad at Harvard, some in Columbia. He did grad work in Yale. Like, every prestigious place you could think of. He speaks at the UN. So I was just...
Oh, man. So is it Michael Eric Dyson?
God, no. I was just so tickle pink that this man was into me and would listen to my opinions. It was this little college girl, and I was just...
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's just the, like, I mean, no offense, but that is the dick talking, man. Like, that will make anything a hot chick is saying very fucking interesting.
The sad part is I didn't realize that at the time, that he was totally just entertaining me because he wanted to put himself inside me.
Yeah.
At the time, I was like, oh my God, yeah, I feel I'm just so blessed that this.
I am so deep.
Exactly.
Professors, listen to me.
I'm clearly just so, I must be as learned and educated as this great man, which is why we are soulmates. He tells me to shut up when his wife calls. We were in bed the last time we were in bed together, and he's like, you know what? You're going to really have to go to a good grad school or lose at least 75 to 100 pounds if you want to get married.
Oh, what?
He said this about 5 seconds after taking himself out of me.
Oh, my God.
So he is still glistening with the effects of my pleasure. And he just says, oh, you know, not for nothing, but you're way too fat for someone to love.
Oh, my God.
And I just kind of looked at him and I was like, seriously? He was like, well, yeah, you know, people who are learned, you know, they expect certain things from their partners. And, you know, you just don't see successful people. I was like, really? Have you ever been to a Walmart? Because I see happy, fat people who are married with families all the time. And I realized, no, he's never been to a Walmart because he was a stuffy, pompous ash douche.
Oh, my God. That is the worst. Like, and then also, like, the societal disconnect that people have within themselves where it's like, yeah, you know, I just, when I see a fat woman, I'm like, you need to do this, that, and the other. Get your life together, girl. You know what I'm saying? But, oh, yeah, I did sleep with her last night. But that is different. That was Saturday, and today I'm on Twitter. And you can't say that. But, yeah, I noticed that a lot, man. Like, it's like a public, it's almost like they just do it to get the cosign.
Expect people who want to, because they think they've earned the right to shame people for their bodies because they were shamed into dramatically changing their life because they didn't want to be shamed anymore, and then they go and do the same thing. For me, it was just like, hey, it's great that you wanted to make your entire life about what you look like.
Yeah.
For me, I want to be healthy, but I also got shit to do, and I'm going to do it. So, if that means I'm going to stay puffy, well, you can test my puffy ass.
No, that's a lot of, also there's like a culture to it because it feels like people just kind of like are able to, it's one of the rah-rah things that we have in society still where you can be like, because fat people are the worst. It's like, yeah, and I hate them. Yeah, I used to be one, fuck them. Yeah, you know?
Yeah, it's the one thing that you get away with because there's a lot of concern trolling where you say,
oh my God.
People, but it's like, oh, because I'm concerned about your health and your well-being that I'm destroying your psyche and telling you you're worthless and contributing to poor mental health, which turns into poor physical health and anguish. That's what I'm doing. I care about you so much.
Yeah, the compassion troll is the fucking worst of the trolls because it's always like this, like, because it always gives me a little bit of pause too, where I'm like, am I being a dick to someone who wants me to be a better person? Oh, wait a minute. No, this guy's just an asshole, you know?
Yeah, I think at more extreme times, there was times when, you know, I walked into a family gathering and the first thing somebody says before they say hi is, oh my God, you need to work on your weight. And I was just like, your vagina smells. And they looked at me like, oh, and I was like, oh, was that inappropriate? Was that a terrible thing to say?
Oh, and family gatherings are the worst place to do it, man. I've had it happen to me, and it'll be like fucking Thanksgiving. So it's like, oh my God, you've gotten so big, you're fat now. And I'm like, yeah, okay, now let's have some turkey and some dressing. And I don't forget to try these, don't forget to try this rice and gravy. I made this rice and gravy. It's like,
you go for a salad because they're going to laugh at you because fatty's eating a salad.
Yeah, you can't win.
It's a can't win situation. For me, I think it was really important to get over that because I've had an eating disorder where everybody congratulated me. You know, people didn't start taking notice until, because it was such a it was such a slow process. It was, mm-hmm. I don't want to graduate college being fat because I ballooned in college.
Mm-hmm.
It's a high stress situation. The first time, you try to take birth control, that was weird on my body, and stress and alcohol, which is totally legal and you can drink oodles of it. So my body, not in the best shape. And so when I started working out a lot, everyone's like, oh, that's great. And I was like, I'm going to eat less. So, calorie counting, and everyone's like, oh, she's really trying. That's great. And, you start with 2,000 calories a day. And they're like, oh, that's way too much. So I'm going to have 1,500 calories a day. I'm going to have 900 calories a day. I'm going to have 300 calories a day. I'm going to have tea for all of my meals with sweet and low, and not actually try to put food in my body, but then work out 3 hours a day until you bleed when you pee.
Oh.
So, yeah. So it was.
And everybody was like, congrats, you're losing weight.
Exactly. I was like, oh, finally, you're doing something about that weight.
Meanwhile, you're just like,
so you don't lose weight.
You're like, I can't breathe or walk.
It was to renal distress. And I had renal swelling. I was bleeding. And then I was like, it was in a hospital bed. I was like, you know what? Being skinny is nice, but I'd rather be alive.
Mm.
So, I mean, it's something you still struggle with. But, I'm concentrating on being alive. And I want to talk about body image and its importance, because I don't want another person to have to feel the way I felt.
Now, what would you, let's say, and for some reason, you lost weight, whatever reason, your personal reason, would you still do body image, like, talks and whatnot,
Of course, because the thing is, it's so prevalent in our society, it affects everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I know people who are a size 2 and hate themselves and hate their bodies because they don't feel that their body is up to stuff. To an impossible beauty standard. And this is men and women.
Yeah.
We're destroying ourselves mentally. So it's not just, I talk about acceptance of different body types. I'm talking about everybody, because you don't have the right to abuse somebody verbally, physically, wherever, because their body type isn't pleasing to you, whether they be small, whether they be tall or short or disabled in some way. There's no reason for that to happen in our society.
Mm-hmm.
So, if I magically look like Beyonce tomorrow, I'm still going to have issues, because there are still people who will say, oh my God, Beyonce is so fat.
Because the way in my mind, I think of it as almost like the opposite of a physical trainer. Like if you go to the gym and somebody's like, I do physical training, if you could sign up for a 4-week program. I don't know why physical trainers talk like that to me, but that's what they sound like. And like that dude is always super duper like, I don't have a job in shape. Like I really just got out of prison yesterday and I'm super duper like in shape. So I wonder if people would look at you and be like, oh, but you lost the weight. So you're not real anymore when it comes to body images.
There's always schisms that happen between communities, even when they're like-minded.
Mm.
I mean, I talk about sex workers' rights and protections, and there are people who say, oh, well, you were never a full-service escort. Are you... you never got naked when you danced. You only danced for X amount of time, so you can't talk about this, or you can't talk about that, or cam girls don't count because we don't even touch people, Everybody is going to look at somebody else and say, oh, well, you can't, because it should matter that we're working towards a goal that we all believe in.
Mm-hmm.
In a perfect world, that would mean we all hold hands and save the universe. Unfortunately, we So, yeah, you're going to hit that. I mean, but it's also important that you have that, because I remember I spoke at Catalyst Con East, and I did a panel called, is this panel making me look fat? And it was basically about body positivity and sex, because Catalyst Con is about sex, but sex in a more academic sense. It's not like a sex convention where you have like porn stars selling DVDs or anything. You go to learn. So I was talking about my body, and I was talking about being a person of size who I always loved dancing, I always loved movement, and I hated the fact that, you know, I can't walk into a class for whatever and be treated the same. And, you know, one of my panel mates kind of tapped me on the shoulder. I was like, well, you know, when you say that, that's really ableist. You know, I'm a person of size. Also, I'm not that into movement, and I should still be respected even though I'm not. Mm. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
Or I never thought to say, you know, for me, it was always, you know, I'm big, I work out, I concentrate on my health, still leave me alone. But, you know, there are some people who can't work out, and I can't discount them and say they don't deserve respect because of that.
Yeah, so, it seems like there's a lot of checking, like, in the whole, like, even in feminism as a whole, there's a lot of checking, you know, there's a lot of, well, you're this type of feminist, so that type of feminist doesn't count to my type of feminist, which is the only one that really counts. You know, there's a lot of that shit.
Well, they do that with everything. There's black checking.
Mm-hmm.
I was...
And I mean, to this day, I don't accept black checks because a lot of times they bounce. That's just a little racism for you. Go ahead. Oh, I didn't mean to cut you off.
But I was in a class, and, you know, I do not look like a quote-unquote mixed person. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're talking about the N-word, which is always a great discussion in a black studies class where half the people are white. And so...
Yeah, what does that sound like? I'll raise my hand, and I'll just say, I think niggers need to get over the N-word. I'm sorry, wait a minute. Was I not supposed to say that?
Well, because I went to Rutgers, and there's a diversity requirement, so you have to take a class about a culture.
Okay.
So Black Studies 101, it was always like a half white class because they just needed the requirement.
Mm.
So there was a girl who was on my floor, and I guess she knew I was mixed. Mm. So we're discussing the N-word. And I did not censor it. I actually said the word. She's like, well, you can't say it because you're not even all the way black.
And I was like, whoa, what?
Yes.
And did you say nigga, please? Or what was the response to that?
I think she got to see just how Jamaican I really was.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's weird, too. Was that one of the classes that you... didn't pass because you flunked out that semester? Because that would be kind of a big mark on your record, is I failed Black Studies.
You know what? It wasn't that Black Studies class. It was the semester after that. But I failed a Black Studies class.
You failed a Black Studies class? That's awesome.
I took it over and I got an A.
It's still awesome. I had a African Americans in business class. I went to a HBCU. I went to a historically black college. The professor is this old black man who is racist against white people. So I would come to class about once every week, even though it was a three times a week class.
Oh.
And the class was bullshit. Like, he would just show, like, today we're gonna watch Bamboozled and learn about blacks in corporate America. And it's like, Bamboozled is, I mean, as much as that movie's kind of funny and stuff, it's not curriculum based, and he's not actually teaching off of it. He's just, like, literally playing an hour and a half of Bamboozled.
Angry enough at the white man.
Yeah, just making white people uncomfortable. So I remember I came to class one day, and I was barely there, but when I was there, I would always ask a question. You know what, let me pass on some knowledge. If you're listening to this and you're in college, if you don't go to class, when you do show up, make sure to ask questions. That way they think you're engaged and they remember your face and they think you're there way more than you are. All right. So I would always ask a question and be like, oh, I got a question about this thing, or I got, you know, some sort of, observation I would add to this. And so I sit down and I'm sitting next to this white girl, and she's like upset. Like, we just got our midterm, like, you know, status update of this is what your grades look like right now. And she's like, oh my God, can't believe this shit. And I'm like, what's wrong? And she's like, what's wrong? I mean, you probably the same thing, but I have a C in this class. And I'm like, you got a C? Like, wow, that's crazy. He's like, what do you have? I'm like, and then it starts clicking like, oh, wait, you're here every day and I'm only here once a week. Yeah, man, you're not gonna like this. I got an A. So it's like I clearly got the A for being black, and I feel like that's how racism passes on, man, because I didn't do anything to help her and I didn't report that, man. I took my A and was extremely happy. But yeah, so if I can pass African-Americans in corporate America showing up once a week, you had to take that class over. You couldn't have gotten less than an A.
A real professor who wasn't racist and made us write many papers.
Whose fault is that, man? You gotta scout your professors better, Najayla, before you get up in that class, you know?
You're actually one of my favorite professors. We're friends on Facebook.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, some people do it for the learning. I do it for the grade. Now another thing, you were talking about like your parents are being like super Christian and stuff. How much of that was like had an effect on you as far as when you got to school? Because they always do like the kind of preacher's daughter type thing, you know, where it's like, oh, this person's.
When I first started college, I dropped a sociology class because I was like, he said mean stuff about my Jesus. Mm. So it was kind of a culture shock. I mean, even though
what did he say about your Jesus in the sociology class?
Just the idea of like just saying that society, we made it and it's all crap and we're basically doing it because we've always done it and it's a velvet cage. And I was like, no, we do it because of Jesus.
He's like, why are we studying these other religions? I don't understand. There's one true religion. Stop.
And it's full of Jesus. Yeah.
There are too many chapters in this book. Why is this? This book should be the same size as the Bible.
Say Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus was the answer.
Yeah. Why? Because Jesus. That's the whole pop quiz and test. It's just answer one, Jesus. That is correct. Good job.
Yeah, that was, now I feel like a heathen. I haven't been to church in like 10 years. But college is very, it was an eye opening because I was kind of like, you had to take the sociology class as another one of Rutgers requirements. So I even went to the dean. I was like, I feel uncomfortable in this class. And they were just like, really? Take the fucking class. So I took it, and I'm glad I did. Minds were expanded.
Well, how did your parents introduce you to sex, if that's not, you know, too far of a question?
Oh, my God. My parents' introduction to sex. I remember once my mom asked me if I masturbated, and I was like 7. And I was like, no, but... Because she's like, you know, you better have to touch yourself. You get dick down there. And she was so uncomfortable. I was like, I'm going to end this trauma for you and just say no. And then when I was like 17, my mom was like, are you curious about sex? And seeing as that was like June and I lost my virginity in May, I was like, nah.
Not anymore.
Well, I didn't say not anymore. I was like, no, think about it.
Last month, you should have asked, but you know, you're late.
I mean, my bless my mother's heart. She like lived a perfect little life where, you know, she's like a Cinderella story where she had like all this hardship. She met like my dad, who was perfect and treated her like a princess. And they got married and moved in the house, had their 2.5 children, and everything's great. Not so much, but there's these times like my mom finds things and she just like erases it later to continue her happy narrative. Like, she found like a bag of condoms when
wait, condoms come in a bag? I didn't even know.
Like, I was amassing condoms because I like dick. And
yeah, to protect yourself. Babies.
So, yeah, I don't.
Two, they got all those pretty colors. That's not your fault. It's like Pokemon. You got to have one of each type. You don't know what kind of dick is going to come out of those pants, and you want to be prepared. I understand.
You got to have Magnums. You got to have Magnum XLs. You got to have the kimonos. You got to have all types.
But not those goddamn free lifestyles. Those things are responsible for more pregnancies than anything else in the world. They always break.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, listen, if you're listening to the show, do not take your ass down to the free clinic and get the free lifestyles. Pay the $2 for a real condom, man.
I, on vibrant-vibes.com, have a, like, condom sampler pack where you get, like, 100 condoms for $20.
Go check it out, guys. Go ahead and treat yourself, okay? Because what you don't want is a baby. Trust me, you don't want that shit. So go ahead and try out which kind of condom is best for you, man. There's all kinds of shit in the condom technology, man. I remember I was using condom one time, and that shit had a little bit of, like, lube or something inside the condom when you open it up. And it felt the closest to real vagina that I've ever felt.
That's, like, my best sex tip for, like, beginners. If you're like, oh, I can't feel up the condom, put just a couple drops of lube in the tip, put it on, and you're in Pleasure Town, man. There's no reason not to use condoms.
And I'm telling you, they got condoms with it in there already now. Like, go try. Look it up. Don't just give up and be like, well, I guess I'm having 27 babies. Don't do it. You can do better, guys.
There's also, you don't want, you know, crotch rot or anything.
So. Right. There's also disease. Although I still say, babies, worse than disease. Worse than disease.
And you don't have to pay for college.
For disease. Herpes never goes, I want to go to college. And I'm not saying you need to get herpes, but I'm just saying, herpes, when it gets married, you do not have to fit the bill at the wedding. I'm just telling you guys, protect yourself for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, it's good knowledge. But, my mom, she found like a bag of condoms, and I was like, they're my friends. She's like, okay. And she, like, I could just, like, see her, like, erasing that memory. And I think the worst time was I snuck my boyfriend in because I went to a, like, junior college for a bit, like a semester or whatever, before going off because I graduated high school at 16 and my parents thought I was too young. They were right. So they had me at home for a little bit. And we had, like, this ranch house, but it had two floors. Like, the basement was its own ranch house. But my parents, like, never really went there because they had no reason to because it was a big-ass house.
Yeah.
And so whenever I'd sneak my boyfriend in, I'd sneak him in with the entrance to the downstairs house. And so we'd get busy. And, like, it was supposed to be my dad's office, but he never used it. So I would bang there because there's a fireplace. It was romantic.
On his desk and stuff too?
Not on his desk.
Okay, I was just asking.
But
by the way, desk sex, highly overrated. I'm telling you guys.
And sometimes there's a pen and you slip on the pen.
Exactly.
And head on, like,
it's not very romantic either. Although, if it's an office you're not supposed to be in, it can be kind of hot, but it's still not
it
like.
Lasts, like, 10 seconds.
Right.
Get a thumbtack in your bum.
Exactly. Like, if you're doing office sex on a desk, I'm going to recommend you guys wrap it up quick.
Or at least look for anything that could cause injury. Staples, thumbtacks.
Yeah. I've had quite a few bad desk sex experiences.
Yeah. So we got it on, and there was this bathroom, which I was the only one who took showers and used that bathroom. So I never thought that my mom would look into it. So when we're done with the condom, I just tossed it in the wastebasket. It just so happened that on that night, my mom decided to inspect my cleaning of my designated areas to clean, found the used condom, and I'm just in my bed because I'd been well fucked and I'm ready to nap. And she just comes bursting in, used condom in hand, waving it.
Oh, no.
What is this, DeJayla? What is this? And I'm just like,
it is a condom.
I kind of want to go like, hey, you know what that is? Why are you touching it?
Yeah, it's a balloon. First of all, it's a balloon. And I put water in them and blow them up.
So I just like, because like, I just can't tell my mom that I'm sexually active for realsies. I was like, oh, well, I was having outer course with my boyfriend to
outer course
virginity and have a mutually exciting experience. And then she's like, oh, really? Then why are you in this bed traumatized? I was like, yeah. I was sleeping. I was going to go to sleep. I have my sleep cap on. I'm just going to take a night. I'm cool. I'm good with this outer course, totally not real intercourse that I'm having with my boyfriend.
Oh. And she just deleted that memory? Or?
Exactly. And she goes, I will accept this excuse. And I just see the memory delete from her mind.
That's crazy. Like, I can't even imagine.
I'm pretty sure my mom still thinks I'm a virgin.
Wow. I just can't imagine my parents erasing that one. Like, I just feel like they would be like, come on, nigga, out of course that you just made some shit up just now. Like, it's like, no, this happens all the time. People, you know, jack someone off into a condom. It's like, I've been 16, and that's not how before. We don't have that type of foresight at 16.
Yeah, but she bought it, or at least she decided that she was going to accept it enough to erase the memory.
That would be the worst handy J of all time, by the way, is the condom hand job. Like, just, you don't trust me at all. Just, let's not even do this. Don't even touch my penis. I'll do it myself. But, yeah.
If you're, like, hooking up with somebody, I'm not going to touch your penis without a condom on if I don't really know you like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Argue I shouldn't be banging you, but that's my business.
Well, I'm just going to tell you right now. If you go, I'll give you a hand job, put that condom on. I was like, I got this. Why don't you, like, squeeze your titties together or something? I'll handle the penis because I don't want to be getting the condom hand job.
There's nothing wrong with mutual masturbation or
of course not.
If your partner, it could be very beneficial and intimate.
Exactly, I agree. Now another thing that I wanted to ask you about too, earlier you were saying you were on a panel where you're talking to Asian men, you did black, and then you did like another one that was mixed race. Are you into Asian men? Is that like a thing for you?
Oh, she's like, okay. This is like, I never say like I'm into anybody because people are freaking Pokemon. We don't collect them all, but
is that wrong to say though? Because I find that people can't control their what they are into.
For me, I'm very against ethnic fetishizing.
Because
it equates ethnicity to like a ball gag or any other like point of fetishism. You're like, I am a black and Asian woman. I can't, my blackness isn't the same as, you know, rope bondage. Like, I don't like being equated and made into a thing.
So if a guy is into you, for example, let me just throw this out. If a guy is into Najayla and he's like, Najayla, let me tell you something. I am into black and Asian women. Like, that's my thing. And that's one of the reasons that I'm digging you specifically. Would that be a big turnoff because you're like, I'm not into that?
Because it's like, that you're not digging me specifically. You like the idea of a black and Asian person, and you're projecting the ideas you have about this set of people onto me so you can bang me, and I'm not into that. I want you to bang me because I'm awesome.
Right.
Bang me.
It's a very fine line, though, right? Because I won't lie, man, like, some features I'm into, and it's like, for me personally, I'm lucky, but I feel like it's a genetic lottery that I hit. I have a Benetton penis. Like, I can be attracted to just about any kind of woman as long as like it's more like features. Like, oh, she has wide hips. I like that. Oh, she has big titties. I like that. Or what, you know, whatever it is. I'm into that more so than race.
People are. I think we're kind of socialized into saying, oh, I like Asian people. Because you think about, Asia's pretty fucking big. Like, I've dated a lot of guys from the continent of Asia, but that could also mean, you know, Bengali guys, Sri Lankans, Koreans, Chinese, Malay. Like, there's so many different types of people that I don't even get when people say, oh, do you like Asian people? Because of which one of us? We don't look alike.
Right, there's Yao Ming, and then there's like, you know, Jet Li, and there's like, there's a bunch of different looks.
People look at my dad and they go, oh, I don't even know what he is, because, you know, he's a mixed race person himself. And, you know, my mixture comes from his, and people be like, oh, you can't be mixed because you're dark. And I was like, well, my dad's almost as dark as me. Not all Asians are white skinned, frail, and have thin features. You have, you know, Southern Chinese people that are just as dark as a lot of black people with thick lips and wide noses and a lot of features that we say are black, but they are 100% Asian.
Right.
you know, so I just don't, it's too icky. And
so
then,
so because you wouldn't want it done to you, is that specifically why you don't do it to anyone else?
Well, I think because I had it done to me, it made me wise up and stop and saying, oh, like, I had like five types of guys that I liked, mm-hmm. and I would categorize them like racially, but also be like, you know, oh, I wouldn't want to date a white guy unless he had tattoos and he has to have cool colored hair or something like mm-hmm. I just think that's dumb now. It's like, yeah. I will date somebody who I like and who I want to get to know and who I want inside of me. That's my criteria. Mm. Are you awesome? Do I want to bang you? Let's have it a go.
Yeah, I don't have a big like list of no's. Only thing that's weird though is like, I'm not into a lot of women that people would find traditionally attractive. Like Hollywood starlets don't do anything for me pretty much down the line. Like if I go to, like I've never gone to a movie like Angelina Jolie's in it, you know, like it like whenever guys are like, I'm like, I hate Salt. And they'll be like, Salt, but it has Angelina Jolie in Salt. And I'm like, but the fucking movie's terrible. And I don't want to fuck Angelina Jolie.
Salt.
You like, you say you like Salt or what?
No, he was in the movie Salt.
Oh.
My first kiss was the actor Gaius Charles. It wasn't like a real kiss. I kissed him on the cheek, and then he looked at me like I was crazy, and it was at my friend's, like, 15th birthday party, and I ran away and I cried. So.
Oh.
But he was, like, my crush since, like, fourth grade when he was little and chubby.
So you could have, yeah, so that guy was, it's like 6 degrees of separation from Gaius Charles.
Yeah.
but you know what I mean? That was like, I feel like everybody owns their own sexuality. It's just kind of like when you go out and express it into the world as a rule.
Just watch what you're doing. Because if you are fetishized, if you have a racial fetish, you know, mm-hmm. that's your fetish. But the people have to consent to it.
Right.
So if you're into race play or you want to, you know, activate yourself in that way, the other person should be consenting. Well, that should be, they have to be consenting.
Right.
So don't come to me like, oh, I love Asian chicks, or, oh, I want to be dominated by a big black girl or something like that. That, no. Did I consent to this? Do I want to be part of your fetish? No.
Now, there is one other option, guys. You can never tell anybody and just do it all in your brain. That's what I suggest.
You know, the sad part is you can't stop anybody. There are times where I've been with guys and I thought were really awesome, and then they start talking.
Oh, my God.
The more I'm like, I don't want to have sex with you. I actually had amazing sex with somebody, and he just kept on talking, and I found out that he was kind of racist, really sexist, and a terrible human being. So guess who didn't get invited back to my vagina?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But when...
I'm with you. Men, they are the worst.
No, people are the worst.
I'm just joking. But,
I mean, I think I've been vocal about talking about Asian men simply because I don't think people realize that the masculinity that happened with Asian men didn't happen just because. It was something that was socially programmed. Mm. The first anti-miscegenation law was to make sure that Asian men wouldn't touch white women. The first anti-drug laws in the United States were put in place because they thought that Asian men were using opium to you know, get access to white women. Mm-hmm. So there was a great interest to make Asian men not masculine, to feminize and dehumanize them in this country.
Mm-hmm.
I think I talk against that simply because you should, and it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people misconstrue that to saying, oh, I need to be with Asian man, or I think they're the ideal. It's just, it's messed up. The same way I talk about people, you know, fetishizing the over-masculation of black men.
Mm.
Because that robs them of personhood and agency and humanity. So when I talk about these things, because, you know, A, they affect me, because, you know, if I am open to dating anybody and I've dated a lot of guys of Asian descent and I have a kid, I might have a very Asian-looking kid. I don't know. If I have a son, he's going to be socialized as an Asian man, and I don't want the world to suck for him. Just the way I don't want the world to suck for my kid who will be socialized as a black man or woman or, you know, whatever they choose to be.
Now, I kind of like the hyper masculinity of the black man, though, because like every once in a while when I don't want to be bothered, I can just like put my hood up and it works. Like white people across the street then and everything.
Get shot because.
Yeah, occasionally there's that.
To a police officer or, you know, a white woman crosses the street because she didn't like your intent and then thinks that you were going to rape her, decides to tell somebody, and next thing you know, there's burning cross on your lawn.
Yeah, yeah, that's true, too. I try to stick with the positive. I'm more of a glass half full guy, you'll find. But the other thing I want to talk to you about is...
Maybe the glass is full because if it's half full of water, it's also half full of air.
That's correct. Elon. The other thing too is that I want to ask you about is the title bitch. Like, that seems to be a thing that you own and you push out there, and of course other women are, you know, I don't like it. So
people can think it's very negative, and for me, I would always okay, I can take the high road and the low road. I'm going to explain the low road first. I was a women's studies major way back when for a couple semesters, and I couldn't stand half the women in the classes. So, yes, I'm kind of poking fun at the womanist, making it taking the why. Mm-hmm. But also, I kind of feel that a woman is always labeled a bitch when she's in control of herself and refuses to give up that control to anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a woman is a slut when she'll fuck you, but she's a bitch when she decides no.
Yes, she won't. I know. Oh, my God. Don't get me started.
So, you know what? I feel like if me taking control of myself makes me a bitch, I'll be the biggest fucking bitch. And that's whatever.
Yeah, I just like language in general. Because, like, my favorite word is the N-word, nigga. And I use it probably 57 different ways at this point. I don't even... You know, inanimate objects, concepts, like the theory of relativity. I'd be like, oh man, that nigga said motion times, but it's like one of my favorite things, but people get so kind of uptight about language, but that I kind of like that you're using it and kind of putting it out there, at least making people think like, well, I know LaJayla, I know where she stands on things, and she says she calls herself blazing bitch. So, what does that mean for her? Because really, intent is what we're trying to decipher from language in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, I am not N-word friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just don't say it because I didn't grow up.
Everyone has their lines. I will be judged on my line. I just want to put that out there. I'm completely fine with it. That's one of the things that I try to tell people is own your offensiveness. So, like, if people say, I don't like how you say nigger, fuck it, man. They just don't like how I say it. I'm not going to stop saying it. I'll just not be as held in high esteem in that person's eyes.
Well, yeah, I wish people could do that. I wish you could, like, send that to every comedian who keeps on getting his balls in a Twitch because of rape jokes. Because we're not saying you can't say them. We're just saying, own up to the fact that we don't like you anymore because you said it.
Yeah, they don't have... That's the thing. I just wish they would understand. Listen, comedian, person, whatever. Oh, just own it. Like, don't even apologize if you don't mean it, number one. So if you don't go, I'm sorry that I made that joke. If you really meant that fucking joke, then you actually aren't sorry. And you did think it was funny somehow. Just defend. Just be like, look, I said something offensive. Some people don't like it. I thought it was funny. Some of my audience members thought it was funny. Some didn't like it and walked out. Now they're not my fans anymore. End of joke. Don't try to back that shit back and get everybody. Oh, no, I don't mean it, guys. Come back and buy tickets.
Get the intestinal fortitude to do your job. But for me, when I use bitch, one thing I do like about it, I find a lot of the times, since I'm in so many different spaces, there are times where people try to shut me down because of it, because they see it and they automatically write me off. But I'm like, hey, I might be blazed bitch. I might be a fat stripper, but don't think you can sit there and try to, like, check me on certain things. Because just because I occupy this body, had a certain job, or do certain things, doesn't mean that I lack intelligence.
Right. And what's funny is, like, you have LaJayla Ree using bitch as, you know, to refer to herself as her brand, but then, like, the other people are like Nicki Minaj and Lil' Kim. So it's almost like bringing the bitch brand down a little bit, because like, you know, it's kind of like when Chris Rock used the N-word in a joke, and then when Tracy Morgan used the N-word in a joke, and it's like, well, you kind of, you know, Chris thought about his a little more, but that's cool. You know, I appreciate you expressing yourself, brother. But yeah, one of these was more intelligent use of the word. So maybe that's what it is people aren't really even confronting you, but it's more like, well, other people that use it, I don't like them, but I like you, so stop using it.
Well, I think mostly I get just people, I think it gets their guard down, so I could be like, jab, I'm smart, stupid.
I think also, like, people, one thing I've noticed from listening to you on, After Dark and stuff, I think people are, even when they don't mean to be, they're a little uptight about a woman who's, like, actively being like, yeah, you know, I like dick, and there was this one time, and then everybody kind of glosses over, like, yeah, that's cool, but back to the topic, you know, like, there's still something inside of our society, because our society is paganistic.
I go out on After Dark sometimes, because me and Femme used to have no fucks.
Yeah, I love it.
Two fuck division women ever born, and, you know, Elon is just this, like, lovable teddy bear human being that just is full of, like, goodness and just great intentions.
Yeah.
And then we just break him. Like, we just do terrible things. Or at least terrible to him. And we're just like, yeah. What?
But it's I don't mean it negatively. It's, like, well-intentioned. I think people, we just have programming in America.
Hard. Like, I introduced the idea of sex positivity to somebody, and they were like, so you just don't think sex is bad? I was like, no, I think if, you know, someone or a group of people want to have good consenting sex, you know, whatever. And they're like, wait, group of people? I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You'd like an orgy? I was like, yeah, if they want to. Like, what's the big deal?
Right.
Somebody in that orgy is happy and consenting, and everybody's, like, working towards a goal of, like, mutual pleasure. Why do I care?
Like, everybody's being honest. Like, when we talk to people about, like, open relationships and stuff on our show, I feel like people always are a little bit shocked that, like, but you guys are in a monogamous, committed marriage for, you know, you guys been together for this long. It's like, yeah, but that doesn't have shit to do with why that person's relationship can't be respected. Like, we can respect their relationship and they respect ours.
People don't get that, like, everything, I think, is a little bit fluid. So I could be in a relationship now where, you know, I wouldn't want it to be open.
Right.
Because of my interactions with that person. And, you know, later down the road or in the past, I've had relationships where it was an open relationship, or I've had a relationship with two people simultaneously. Or, you know, it doesn't have to be set in stone. This is how your life is.
Right. Yeah, I think it's all programming, man. And people kind of gotta break your programming a little bit, or else your life's gonna be boring anyway, man. You only get one go around, So just, you know, get out there and explore some shit. Speaking of exploring shit, man, it's been great exploring Blazing Bitch with you, Najayla. I appreciate you coming on and talking with me.
Oh, anytime. And, is this where I shamelessly pitch myself?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you want some, what the heck? Elon is calling me.
He must know we were talking about him.
Stop! I didn't know how to make it stop.
You can just pick up. We'll talk to him. It's fine.
No, I'm calling him, but I didn't want to.
Oh man!
I was just telling him yes. So to something, we're gonna do a Weed Nerd Hard. Speaking of that, if you want some Najayla in your life, you can listen to me on We Nerd Hard and After Dark on the Twib FM network. And also, if you want to hear about me talk about sex positivity, sex workers, and review sex toys, you can check out BlazingBitch.com. That's BlazingBitch, bitch with a Y. .com. And if you like my toy reviews and want to buy some for yourself, you could support me and my site and the things that I do by making purchases at vibrant-vibes.com. And I will be speaking, I will be at Netroots Nation with the Twib family. That's June, I'm going to be there June 20th to 23rd. I will be speaking at the Wood Hall Sexual Freedom Summit in September on the 19th. And I will be doing my Does This Panel Make Me Look Fat seminar at Catalyst Con West, September 27th to the 29th. And hopefully I'll be also speaking at Exotica New Jersey, which will be in October.
Man, I can't believe you do all this stuff and your parents have no idea.
They have no idea, though I did tell my mom about TWIB, so I'm hoping that she'll, like, click on it, but I greatly overestimated her ability to listen to streaming things online, because she still doesn't know how to get a website from her phone to the internet, so it's going to be a thing.
Man, well, it's good that you're such a nice person, too, because I feel like someone's revenge is going to definitely be like, oh, I'm going to tell her parents, and then she got to have a talk and all this shit, because it's like what you do is so awesome and out there, you know?
I think it's out there, but I think, like, once I do tell my parents, I'll be like, you know what? Sure, I was a stripper, and sure, I was a cam girl, but you know what? I helped people, and that's what you told me to do, and this is what Jesus was just put in my heart to do.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Jesus.
What I'm doing, you're angry at Jesus.
Right, Jesus. I saw pictures of Jesus. He doesn't like to wear a shirt, and his abs are ripped, so he seems like a guy that's very sex positive to me, you know? But also, it's also funny, though, because it would be like coming out of the sex positive closet for you.
I mean, it's very weird. Once my mom learns how to Google, and once my dad remembers that I exist and decides to see what I'm up to and Googles me, it could easily be over, but it just hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, well, don't think about it too much.
Or I think one of my uncles, they're going to be on a porn site, and I'm going to pop up.
Oh, my God.
Like, to be like,
that is, you know what? That is a nightmare.
I'm going to interview her. And
that's a nightmare for every dude.
Well, that's terrible. And they're just going to put soap in their eyes and flag them.
Oh, my God. Because if you're looking at that, you're probably got your dick in your hand already.
Yeah, it's like, it's your niece.
Yeah, it's like, look at those Tinder J-Lo, you know?
Yeah.
And I forgot to ask you one more thing, and I wrote this down earlier, but how do you review sex toys? Do you have to try them out personally? So how did you get on that list of people?
Basically, you know, I contacted companies. First, I would buy them myself, and then people would buy them for me, you know, because I like luxury sex toys. I like to know that something in my vagina costs hundreds of dollars. So obviously, those are pretty hard to come by because I's pole.
Right. But so, you want to be on the cutting edge of technology with your vagina.
That's really what I want to review. You know, I get a lot of reviews in, like, all price brackets, because I figured, you know what? Most people aren't going to, their first sex toy is going to be a $300 sex toy. Right. It's probably going to be like a $20 sex toy or something. So I want to be able to talk about all different types, but I do want to talk about like the newest, best, and see what's out there.
Yeah.
I also want to make sure people are getting good quality sex toys, because, you know, there's a lot of sex toys that are made from low quality products that are porous and can lead to infections and chemicals that are carcinogenic, that there are some places know. So I want people to be aware of what they're putting inside themselves.
So
it's a sex toy.
So do you have nicknames for your body parts, by the way? I forgot to ask.
No.
Hear me out, Najayla. Hear me out. All right, hear me out first. Because if you're going to be on the cutting edge of technology with all of these sex toys and putting hundreds of dollars into it, like, maybe you should go with the Sex Box One for your vagina. Think about it.
No. I do ban rentals, so.
Yeah, I like it.
I don't allow it to be used.
It's not. As a publisher, you decide who gets to reuse it.
Well, I don't think anybody gets to reuse it. new and different and amazing every time. I have affinity for the word cunt, which I find is like kryptonite to many men.
That's my one of my favorite words. I hate that it became
an awesome word.
It is, right? I actually hate that it became a thing for, like, you know, a lot of people that are like feminists and stuff, because one, growing up, like, nobody ever used, it's one of those words nobody ever used, so I didn't even know it was offensive. And then, like, the first time I heard somebody use it, I was like, it's like it draws your ear in.
Me, it was just like an aha moment. I was like, where had this word been all my life?
Yes.
It's like poetry.
Oh, I watched the show called Deadwood a long time ago, and they say cunt like once every four words. And then the show, I didn't even understand the plot anymore. It was just like, Swearengen's going to say cunt in like 3 minutes, so we can go after that. But I need to hear him say it a few more times.
Yeah, and there's just nothing greater than just grabbing a guy by his hair, just like, fuck this cunt.
Oh, Jesus. Yes. Yes. Yeah. This is why I needed you on the show. This is exactly why. Like, you know, the other
isn't what my mom finds. I talk about her waving a used condom around, the fact that she erases bad memories.
Well, the good news is she'll forget this. She'll hear it and then she'll go, what were you talking about, Najayla?
Bad language.
When she finds out, she'll go, Najayla, I heard a podcast and it sounded like you were talking about some things and you really like the word cunt. And you just go, that never happened. She goes, you're right. Delete.
That's like, what you heard was me saying, cloth of the Lord. By touching his hem, I would be healed.
I said, this is God's country. Country, mom. Well, thank you so much, Najayla. This has been awesome. I'll send you a copy of this in your email or something, man. But I really appreciate you doing this, and I feel like
send me information so I can put it up on my site.
Yeah,
translationbitch.com. It was down for a while. It's fucking back.
It's back, y'all.
Next to review right now.
What? I didn't even notice, guys. I promise. I've been sitting there looking on camera all day. I've
tested already.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, it's not going to get a good grade. She was able to be coherent the entire interview if that's what was going on, but apparently not. Thank you so much, Najayla. And, guys that are listening out there in premium land, thank you guys that, pay to hear the podcast, man. We appreciate it. And, we'll see you guys next time on Medium Talk. Peace. Oh, yeah. Bonus talk, nigga.
Okay. Works for me, man. And you enjoyed Superman?
I walked in ready to hate it and everything it stood for, because you already know how I feel about Nolan's Batman. We won't get into it, but...
I know, it's a thing.
And the last thing I saw of Zack Snyder was Sucker Punch, so fuck that guy.
Jesus Christ.
I hated Sucker Punch so much, I forgot how much I liked Watchmen, and he improved the ending of something that was classic. Sucker Punch, like, erased the goodwill from Watchmen. But you know what? I forgive them both.
Wow, okay, well, good. I'm going to see you this afternoon.
Unorthodox storytelling for a superhero genre film as we've come to know them, but I think it was really effective because Superman is a very hard character to get people to empathize with, and they did that surprisingly well. Also, like, goddamn, like, dude who played Superman...
He's hot.
It's not that he's hot, like, I've seen his other stuff, and he was just, like, just this dude, like... He was, like, in this medieval period drama that I used to love, and he was just this little wussy thing. Like, he was wearing tights all the time, and I was just like, that's going to be Superman? He, like, ate two oxen and punched them. I was like, what did they do with that CGI? Like, how did that happen?
Oh, well, you know, Snyder knows how to do it, though. You know, whether it's the P90X or something, right?
With him on the 300-something. It was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But it was basically like watching live action Dragon Ball Z, and as terrifying as that should be.
Good. That's kind of what I was hoping for, man. You know what's funny is when I saw the last Matrix, which everyone hates, I understand. But the fight scene at the very end was like, I remember watching that and said, there's no fucking reason they can't make a good Superman movie. Because Neo and Mr. Smith just fucking slam each other into things and beat each other up in Dragon Ball Z.
That times a million.
Oh, I can't wait. Okay, all right. All right, I'm gonna ask you.
Go see it.
I will see it this afternoon.
And in the, like, towards the middle, you start feeling that length. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's more of an action movie than most traditional superhero movies.
I can't wait, man. And then what's weird, though, is this is going to make the second movie this year that We Nerd Hard probably all liked or gives good reviews to. And
there are issues with it narrative-wise. Mm-hmm. I think they relied on the audience knowing the material. Because I think if you showed that movie to people who had no idea what the concept of Superman is, they'd be like, what?
Right.
They're just like, this is... I felt like the movie was going, you know this. We're not... You know it.
So, like, for a nerd like me, it'll probably be fine because I'm tired of the Superman origin, but for other people, they won't.
Fresh retelling, it kind of felt like reading the Bible and you've read it all your life and then suddenly there was a chapter about Jesus between the time he but it was really interesting and not like how Smallville tried to do it where it was just, it was like actual fitting into it was like Smallville where they didn't have the budget to make Superman be Superman.
Yeah.
Made no goddamn sense.
Yeah.
This is how Superman would grow up and it was
That's awesome, man. Well, I can't wait to hear how you guys, talk about it. And then I'm sure I'll yell at Elon because I don't like for him to like anything. I don't think he gets to like anything after not liking Batman. So
yeah, we had good reasons. Like I will stand behind that. It was
not
fan fiction, and it had issues.
For the record, it's not even the reasoning. I just think once he doesn't like something, then I don't want him to ever like anything because I like that movie so much. So.
There were so many holes, and it wasn't even bad. He's the world's greatest detective. He didn't do any goddamn detectiving.
Well, because I allow freedom in the retelling of a story. It's kind of like comic books, right? Batman. We all like have this mind. Our mind is like congealed all the goodness of Batman into our brains to be like, this is what Batman is. But if you actually go back and read comics, one artist's take on Batman is completely different from the next guy. I feel like that with the movies. Like, Nolan's take on Batman is just completely different than anybody else's. Wrong? It can't be wrong. It's just his take.
The thing, the core of Batman. Like, I get, you tell Greek mythology and you mess up certain points. But to make the hero's journey become useless is crazy pants.
I don't think it became useless. I will say this.
There was no point of him ever being Batman.
But the whole point of him starting was that I don't want the city to need me. In the first one, he even brings up, like, I'm not becoming Batman because I'm going to fight crime forever. I'm coming Batman because one day I will leave in the city of Gotham, and one day it won't need a Batman. Like,
happen in somebody's lifetime. That is crazy talk.
Well, it did, though, because Harvey Dent got killed, and then they passed that, like, really strict crime legislation, so, like, everything went down, and he was like, all right, cool. And then he took on the burden of being the, like, quote-unquote bad guy. So, as you can see in the third movie, just showing up shut shit down. Like, cops were everywhere. They stopped chasing the real criminals, and they were only after Batman. Like, I got why he was like, yeah, this is actually way more destructive than it's helping at the time. And then Bane shows up, and it's like, okay, bad guys are back. I guess I got to fight.
Get me started what they did with Bane.
Okay, all right, Najayla. Now, all right. So you didn't like how they did Bane.
I didn't like how they did a lot of things that movie.
But in Iron Man 3, there's no bigger MacGuffin than the Mandarin.
You know what? I'm going to say, as an Asian American, I felt like Marvel was apologizing for how they did us for the last 40-some-odd years. So I'm not going to say I didn't mind that.
I can't stop you from, adding your own interpretation to something that is equally as preposterous in both movies, but that's fine.
Well, I think the thing with the Mandarin actually made a point. Mm-hmm. With Christopher Nolan, was like, I want a happy ending.
I felt like the thing with Bane made a point too, which is that he was never the person in the cave. It was always Talia al Ghul.
Yeah, she wasn't a completely wasted character.
She wasn't completely wasted, but I don't know, like, the stuff that I found, you know what it is? The stuff you have issues with is stuff that I got over a long time ago because I never thought the story, like, it made complete narrative sense in Nolan's world.
I think I have issues with Nolan's world.
Yes,
so that it's easy to forgive things because it's like, it's just cascading shit on to razor blades, and then Christopher Nolan took those razor blades and cut my dreams.
Yeah, that is the truth of it. For a lot of you guys that don't like the series, but
I also think it's just, I just started, like, I watched all the animated series,
mm-hmm.
and quite frankly, that's the best Batman we've had.
I don't know. First of all, I realized the other day I like Batman Beyond more than Batman Animated Series. And I didn't know I liked it that much until I rewatched the whole thing and I was like, yeah, this to me is better. Also, Batman in the Animated Series, sloppy as fuck, man. Like, I got a little upset because there's too many episodes of him just getting knocked out by Random Hood number 3 and Cotton.
Because he's a dude! And they reminded you, hey, you know this is just a really rich dude, right? Who works out a lot.
Yeah, but when it's in Nolan's world, it's like, but he's not being smart anymore. That would never happen to Batman. It's like, we forgive certain things because of the environment. Like, that was my first time seeing Batman really brought to life and respected the way that I think he should in the animated series. And then Nolan, I thought, stepped it up another level and brought it to a movie theater with actual respect. So I think that's why I'm more forgiving of both.
Crazy, but now I kind of wish we got a Zack Snyder
Batman,
yeah, or at least like the team that did Man of Steel. I would be okay with them doing Batman because they know how far they need to take it and they're not afraid to do it.
Well, Christopher Nolan kind of was the team, you know,
he was a producer, so he got to go, here is the money to do this.
You think he contributed no ideas?
He contributed some ideas. And Zack Snyder was like, you know what? Explosions, motherfucker. That's like, going to happen.
Here's the thing with Zack Snyder. There's no way he's the brains behind something that good.
That's the thing. They needed the balance. Because we've seen when Zack Snyder has good source material, good. He could make something good. Even out of something that, even the source material is kind of shitty. 300, Frank Miller, but he can do a great action narrative, and I'll give him credit for that. Unfortunately, when there's nobody going, hey, Zach, maybe reel it in a bit, aka Sucker Punch, didn't end too well.
Right, that's true.
So this, I think, was a great balance of that. I saw things he did in Sucker Punch that were stupid and didn't work, like how he was weaving the narrative, but it worked here.
Okay. I mean, I got to see this movie, so I'm not going to go off of that, but I will just be like, I enjoyed the entire Batman trilogy that Nolan did. I also enjoyed the animated series, and I also enjoyed Batman Beyond, and have you seen The Dark Knight Returns yet?
Have seen the first one.
Okay. Yeah. Wait, when you see the second one, it's really crazy. That's a good depiction of Superman in there too, as a dick though.
Well, Superman. See, biggest Man of Steel, you got to see Superman being a dick.
Oh man! Okay, all right. Look, let me get off of this, man. But this is the most fun interview.
To weird hard in like 3 hours.
Okay, well, hey, this has been great, and I should have kept recording this part. This is also fun too. I might get this from the Pamela recording and add it on as a bonus or something. This is awesome. Thank you for nerding out with me, Najayla.
Anytime.
All right, man. One of these days I got to invite you. We also do a spinoff show about just nerd stuff called Nerd Off. One day I got to invite you to that, but we do it on Saturday.
On After Dark to talk about marriage and sex because I clearly can't do that.
Yeah.
It's weird when Elon talks about sex because he he's talking about his wife, and like, I like his wife. That's so weird to me. It's like,
yeah,
talking about doing it. That's,
yeah. Plus, Elon's all a little squeamish about the sex stuff, and
he's coming out of the shell though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he could like talk about it a lot more, but I think it's weird when he hears me say it, because he met me talking about like nerdy stuff. Like, he knew of the stuff I did, but he didn't have to hear me talk about it.
Yeah. And then also, like, he's so respectful.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even imagine what sex is like for Elon. I just keep imagining, like, this super duper.
I just imagine it's like a consent form.
Right. I just imagine, like, him, like, if Emily's like, you need to tear this cunt up, he'll be like, well, first of all, cunt is kind of a harsh word, and some people would be offended by it, and I want you to know that I respect you, and it's okay for you to say it, because it's your right to say it. And it's just like, the mood is dying. The mood is dying, Eli. Just go in there and get your business done. that's my own head.
I'm just going to block that imagery out of my head.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've already thought entirely too much about someone else's sex life now.
I can't fault you. That's my bread and butter, people imagining my sex life, telling people about it.
Yeah.
No, I don't know why.
Well, I appreciate you sharing with us, that, you know.
I look forward to having you on After Dark. It's going to be awesome. Let me hear about your dick. Yay!
Can't wait. Go Dicks. All right, man. Talk to you later.
Bye.